in any shape or way or form that's not needed in the lobby and everything, if we could just come in here and just make sure we get attentive to the Word of God. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the Word. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our midst, not only in our midst, but, Father, in the state of Florida. We thank you, Father, for the many prophetic words that have been spoken over Florida, that this state will be a catalyst state for revival and awakening, Lord God. You've put it on the hearts of great men of God like John Melinde and others, Lord God, to leave their offices and their places of worship so they could concentrate on what you are doing in Florida. Father, help us not to miss this window. Help us not to miss this opportunity. Anoint your word today. Let us hear with open hearts. And we thank you that it will change us in Jesus' name. And everyone said, I highly encourage you to get the book. The wake-up call, we are actually kind of going through it these next couple of months, going through principles of it by John Melinde and Mark Daniel. It's in the back bookstore. It's been wrecking my world. It's a powerful, powerful book, and so we really encourage you to get it. So, amen. If you want to turn to your Bibles, by the way, you could say amen, glory to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Oh, and I heard a santo over there. That's good. Ezekiel chapter 14. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 14. Let's look at verse 1. I don't think I've ever preached from this verse. This is fresh, but the principle is so old, but we need to release this again. I want you to look at Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 1. We're going to be looking at the New King James version. I could wait to mess that up. If you could put it on the screen, we're going to read from verse 1 through 4, okay? And I want you to hear, because I really believe this is a prophetic word, not only for America, but for OHOP, amen? And so what God is about to speak to us is really relevant to this time. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 1, here it goes. Now some of the elders of Israel came to me, this is Ezekiel speaking, and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? Verse 4. Therefore speak to them and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, every one of the house of Israel who sets up his idols, listen to this, this is Old Testament, in his heart, and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, this is scary, will answer him who comes according to the multitudes of the idols in their heart. And everyone said, Amen. Now, I want you to get a little backdrop of what's happening here. Basically, in the time of Ezekiel, there was a lot of prophetic utterance, prophetic warnings of what is going to happen, what the Lord desires to do, both good and bad. And because there was a lot of warnings and people not taking heed to it, there was a lot of things that happened as a result. We see the same thing in Jeremiah. You know, we always focus on the Babylonian captivity for 70 years and that Jeremiah prophesied it. But in that same book, that same prophet is the same prophet that said, okay, 70 years of Babylonian captivity because of your repeated disobedience or rejection of God's prophetic word. That same prophet was the one in Jeremiah that says, I am married to the backslider. So we have this, you know, image of Jeremiah being this one person who just hated people. He didn't. He was trying to give a message to the people to return, and the people didn't act heed to it. Time after time after time, and then finally the Lord had to say, okay, because they're not ready there to receive my voice, I have to enslave them for 70 years so they can finally get a picture. My goodness, that's a hard heart right there. 70 years. So the reason I say this is because Ezekiel, in modern day church, pretty much is sitting somewhere. The elders of Israel come, and he basically gets a word of knowledge. Like, you know, have you ever talked to someone and you're just smiling, but the Lord is downloading you some things about their life? Now, we got to be careful about that, because some of us the download is not from heaven, it's from our flesh. I'll just stop right there. Sometimes we just don't like a person, we're just kind of discerning something about them. But true discernment and true prophetic voice is rooted in love. By the way, true prophets don't need a title to be a prophet. They don't walk around the room saying, "I'm Prophet George." You know, the Lord does it. And so pretty much here is Ezekiel, and he's looking at these people, and they're coming to him, asking questions. In the middle of their conversation, the Holy Spirit says, privately, in his heart, while they're talking to him, they're saying, "These leaders have set up idols in their hearts." He says, and the reason why I tell you this is because the answer that I'm about to give them and this nation is according to the multitudes and the degrees of idols in their heart. I'm here to tell you this. If we want to see an awakening, this is a topic that we're going to talk about today, is we have to identify not the idols of the land, the big old ugly idols that there were many in the Old Testament. We have got to identify the idols that are residing in our heart. Now watch this. The idols that are residing in our heart, most of the time, we don't even know they're idols. We call them sin, or we call them some generalities or weaknesses. But our idols that we have in our hearts that are mostly stealth are constructed by our own desires. Did you hear what I just said? The idols that eventually reside in our hearts are actually constructed. The birthplace of idolatry is our own desire for something. And what idolatry is, by definition, is anything that competes for the love and control over your heart more than God. Anything that competes for the love and control of your heart is an idol. And here's the thing. You may say, well, you know, the thing about this scripture is that he says a couple things about the scripture that is real powerful that you guys have to understand. Number one, he says in verse 2, he says, the idols actually cause you to stumble into iniquity. The idols in our hearts are what causes us to stumble into sin. And a lot of times we say, well, I'm just struggling with sin, but what's the root of that? And many times, idolatry is not something that starts off real evil. We have this idea, you know, of these ugly statues. But let me tell you something. Ministry could become an idol. It could always start off real good. So ministry could become an idol. It could be success. The idols that we have in our hearts in this day and hour are very stealth and are very almost non-threatening in the natural eye. But they're things like, please don't get mad at me, like comfort and ease and relaxation. The American dream. Don't let me preach good this morning. And okay, I don't want to step on some sacred cows, but that's why they're idols, because they're sacred cows. But even stuff that is good for you, if it is consuming your time, hear me, church, if it's consuming your time more than it is your time for the Lord, that has become idolatry. Like, and please don't get mad at me because I love this, but even the health craze that's on right now, if you are more important about going to a workout session more than you are spending time with God, even though that is good, that could become an idolatry to you. If you are, can I just say this too? If you are one of these revival junkies, you know, like they call the revival junkies, and you, sometimes revival in itself could be an idol because we're not really seeking a move of God. We just want to go to place to place to place that has revivals so we can get blasted by the Lord. Oh, I'm going to go to a revival service. Where's the next one? And we become revival junkies, right? But my point is, I want to paint a picture. It's not only the lust that we've put on there, the video games. Oh yeah, that's a good one. I had to battle that many times. Believe me, it's very easy and very stuff. But if we're talking about an awakening in this series and what we're doing, we cannot see a true awakening in our heart and in our land if we do not only deal with the idols, but identify the idols. And most of the times, we don't even know what the idols are. It's the idolatry in our heart starts real small, and what it does, it acts like it begins small and it builds into strongholds that actually the enemy hides behind. The definition of a stronghold is fortress. It means erecting fortresses, and the reason for those fortresses is so that someone could hide behind that. Oh, I'm going to say something here. I need, come here, Eli. Come here, Lewis and Keith, come here, bro. Okay. Come here, treasure. Okay. So stand and face the audience. I wasn't going to plan on doing this. So stand the audience. So what happens is, one by one, the idols that we have, like comfort, ease, our own opinions about things. And these are the things that are in our hearts that drastically slow down the life of God from exploding out of your heart. I'm going to say that again. What is an awakening? An awakening is not a manifestation of people shaking. You know what I've come to believe and come to know what awakening is? You wake up one morning and you have more desire to read the Word than you had before. You had a little bit more desire. You have a little bit more passion to pray. Those are the beginnings of an awakening. So you may wonder why. So idolatry in our hearts is not this big, ugly thing like we call it. It's the little nice things that eventually give more time to them than to the Lord. So watch. So I'm over here. So this is, let's say, the idol of ease. Come here, bro. I just want to take it easy. I've been working too hard. And all of a sudden, these idols undealt with will become a little stronghold in my life. And then this idol is laziness right here. And I'm just tired. Not the big sins, you know. Not the big sins that we call, you know, like pornography. Because we always focus on that. And we don't see that there's other idols in our hearts. And so there's take it easy. There's laziness. And here is, let's just call it TV, because nobody here watches a lot of TV. So TV is just really numbing us. Nothing wrong with TV. But we're using this. I don't know. Someone says, what is that? I don't know what he's doing. So changing the channel. Okay. So watch. So you got take it easy. Now you got the American dream. Come over here. American dream. Now watch this. Have you ever read the scripture? Now, okay, you can stop now. So watch this. You got ease, you got laziness, you got TV, video games, and none of that we think they're idols because they're real cool. And you could put your own name on it. Whatever these things are that even start off good and they're good for entertainment, nothing wrong with that. But if eventually it takes the place of competing for our time with God, these good things have actually become idols. And God says, I'm going to deal with the land according to the multitudes of idols in your heart. So could it be that the reason why we're not seeing an awakening like we have is because basically we're not calling certain things that they are in our hearts? Maybe we have some idols that we are dealing with that we're not taking out of. And maybe that's why there's a flow of God, but it stops at a certain level. Because what happens is the enemy then hides behind these idols that have become strongholds. And you could be doing the work of God and not knowing that you're being slowed down and you have a plateau. Why? Because strongholds and other, you know why the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the what? Pulling down of what? You know why you pull them down? Because when you pull them down, the enemy is exposed. So when you continue, sorry. When you pull them down, what happens when you pull down the strongholds, what you're in 2013, what that means is you're demasking yourself from the false pseudo identity of everything's okay and exposing the enemy that's been chilling and hiding behind your idols. Amen. Give them a big hand. Amen. And so we have these things, and now, and so if we want a fresh fire again, fresh hunger for the Word of God, fresh desire to read the Word, we have got to deal with idolatry. And it's not some, most of the time, it's not some big evil sin that we call it, because then we would recognize it. It's the settled things that have consumed us more than are consuming with God. It's even good things. It could be our business. I'm not talking. Please, we need to prosper. But you and I both know if our business gets in the way, if we're spending 50 hours in our business and half an hour with God, do the math. It's not that business is wrong, just like the money. Money is not evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And so we've got to realize that we have gone to a plateau because some of us that have these secret idols, whatever it may be, whatever the Lord is saying to you, you know what it is? It is stopping the life of God from exploding out of you. And not only that, we're operating on old fire. You can operate on some fire and it's still not the fullness of God. Do you know that? Do you know that most Christians that I meet in other places are operating on old fire? What I mean by that is, why would we need a renewal and a revival if we have freshness today? Idolatry in our heart stops us from having a current testimony now. You didn't get that. the idols that we place in our hearts, and you know what? I'm getting ahead of myself. One of the biggest idols is pride. The fact he says, I don't need that. I don't need that title of preaching. I'm okay. There's nothing wrong with me. And so what happens is it slows down the life of God. We operate on old fire, and many of us, please hear me now, because we don't have the fresh fire that we used to have, we resort to stories that happened 5 years ago about our life. And because we don't realize that we don't have any freshness today, so in order to not appear weaker in public or smaller, however you want to call it, we resort to, you know what, 7 years ago, I preached in front of 1,000 people. And boy, I remember 5 years ago when I was just filled with the Holy Spirit and I spoke into, and I remember the encounters I had 10 years ago. Man, did I tell you about that? And God's like, yes, I love that. But you're not going to live victorious if you're living on yesterday's experience. I'm not concerned if you had a Holy Spirit filling 5 years ago. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit now? That's the problem. The problem is, we don't like people to point that out on us. We're like, oh man, I'm okay. But are you more on fire today than when you were 2 years ago? Is that okay with you if you're not? It's just a question. If you're not more on fire today and not more dedicated today than you were 2 years ago, is that okay with you? And if it is okay with you, then you don't realize that you have slowly built up idols in your heart. And now a lot of times, those idols come because of rejection or hurt or pain, but most of the time these idols come from our own desire. Do you know that you can operate in old fire and still not be effective in God? You know that Nahab and Abihu, oh, what a name. Can you imagine that? Abihucito, come over here. Nahab, you're so good, Abihu. You know in Leviticus 10, turn to Leviticus 10. Look at this. I want you to see something, church. Listen to me. You could offer fire and it'd be old fire for God because of idols in our heart. Amen. Thank you for that one. Amen. Come on. Look at this. I want you to notice that we could offer sacrifices to God, but they're from old revelations and old time spent with God. Look. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire. So what did they put? What did they put, church? Okay, so they didn't, they actually put fire. They put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire, the wrong kind of fire, before the Lord. See, a lot of times we get zealous and we think that's the fire of God. Oh, I'm going to jump. I'm going to initiate the fire of God. See, look at fire all over me. It's good to jump, but that doesn't mean that that's the fire of the Lord. Neither does it mean it's acceptable. Because our exuberance has nothing to do with God's approval or disapproval for us. You could jump up and down and still not deal with things in your heart. Now what she says. And he offered profane fire before the Lord, which God had not commanded. Now look at verse 2. So, I'm not saying this is going to happen. This is Old Testament here. Fire went out from the Lord and devoured them. And they died before the Lord. Wait a minute. They offered fire before the Lord. Why is God mad? Because God says that's profane fire. It's the wrong kind of fire. It's old fire. And even though you offered it to me, I'm not accepting it. We have got to contend for the cleansing of our hearts from these little teeny idols that have resided for years. For years in our hearts that actually are slowing the spirit of the fire of God. The reason why many of us stopped hungering for God, do you think God just played a trick on you and said, you know what, forget it for a couple of years. Don't worry about being passionate. Don't worry about, you're just too radical. You did your radical days 3 years ago. Hey, listen, take a break. The biggest idolatries in the land are the ones that reside in our hearts. And that's the what God is looking for. He's looking for people that are honest with themselves and say, what is in my heart that has slowly crept in that has become an idol? In other words, that has taken more time between me and God. It could be something simple as video games. Believe me, I love video games. I'm talking to myself. I am. It could be something that you're really desirous about that actually God gave you. God gives you something, but are we in time allowing that to take the place of control over our heart? You know, I had a vision, a dream, about a year and a half ago, and I shared it at Sound the Alarm. Here was the dream. The dream, and I'm not the one to dream a lot. And so in this dream I had, I shared it before, but for those who didn't hear, I was sitting down in a nice home. It was really nice. The couches were really clean. I remember noticing the there was not a spot on the rug. I mean, it was just a beautiful place. And I was just sitting. I had a big smile. And I was like, this is nice and comfy. This is nice. This is great. And I'm sitting there. I'm enjoying it all. And all of a sudden, in the dream, the scene shifts. And I'm really happy in these furnitures in this house. All of a sudden, Jesus comes in and he comes to me with almost like a blank look in his face, and I thought he was going to come hug me or do something or pray for me. I don't know. He was coming towards me, and he went like this. He threw me off the couch in the dream. He threw me off the couch. He threw me off the whatever I was sitting on. It was like multiple things that I was sitting on, and he totally overturned these furnitures. And then I remember waking up, and I'm like, what in the world was that? Did I have too much ice cream or pizza before? What? God, are you mad at me? And after I prayed, the Lord says, the house was your heart, and the furniture were the idols that you've been slowly erecting in your heart without you even knowing it. And in order for you to be closer to me, and in order for you to get to a level that you've never been, I have to overturn the idols in your heart. Before we overturn them, we got to identify them. Can I hear an amen? Again, I'm going to tell you, I'm getting ahead of myself, but one of the biggest idols in our heart is the ones that you think you don't have. The ones that you think you don't have are the problems with our hearts. And so here comes the strongholds. It becomes strongholds in our lives. It becomes things that slow us down. And the reason why we are not getting breakthroughs in our families is because of that. A great man of God was praying, and he would go to a certain place, and as he would go to a certain place in ministry, he would always plateau and never accomplish some of the dreams that he had. Not only that, but some of the prophetic words that God gave me. Do you know that God could give you a prophetic word, and at times it could be slowed to come to pass? Do you think that just because God releases a prophetic word that you have to do nothing, it's just going to automatically happen? God needs your partnership. Can I hear an amen? That's why when Daniel saw the time clock and he saw that Jeremiah prophesied 70 years of Babylonian captivity, when he was in the 69th year, he saw that the time prophecy was almost done. You know what he did? He could have said, you know what? God already prophesied it. Why do anything? Just sit back and relax. A year later, we're going to be out of here. You know what he did? He fasted. In agreement with the prophetic word that was already spoken. And so me and you have to understand that there are things in our lives that we will never accomplish if we don't deal with idols. Can I say something to some of you? Sometimes you're, and I'm not, please, I'm not targeting anything. It just came on me right now, so please, I'll get emails like, you were talking about me. I know it. No, I'm not thinking about anybody. But sometimes your knowledge is your idol. How much you know about God, how much you know about the things of God, and you're dissecting everything I say. Well, you know, that's not the word, and that's not the way, and that's not how I believe, and that's my theology, is not this way. That's an idol. Every other God is an idol. Can I see? Can I hear? Anyways. There's idols are not just the statues. They're living inside of us. And many of the times, they're good things that started off real good. And sometimes it's not so good. Sometimes it's things that we know are bad, and we're saying, I just want to do it anyways. And that is blocking the life of God. Oh, how many are getting something out this morning? Amen? And so, and I'm going to share this with you. I remember reading this book, and in this book it had a vision of a man. Now hear me this. A vision of a man that as he was going, doing the will of God, he had hooks in the back of his back. Now that sounds gross, but visions are kind of weird like that, and dreams like you fly through a wall. And so in this vision, this man had hooks in his back. And every time he would go to do the will of God, you know what happened? He would think that he was free to do the will of God. But what he didn't know is that there were ropes around those hooks. And just before he was inspired to go further than he's ever gone, just when he got inspired to do something that would take him to a place in his congregation, to a next dimension in God, he would be pulled by these ropes. And this man of God was asking the Lord, what does that mean? Why did I have hooks? And it appeared in the natural that he had a lot of room to do a lot of the good things of God. You know that we could do a lot of good things and effective things and still not realize that there's hooks on our back. And you know what those hooks were? The hooks were the idols in his heart. And every time he got close to something that was going to be really shaking for his life, the enemy put the ropes and stopped him from reaching that potential. And we blame it on weariness and tiredness. We do that. Oh, no, I'm just so tired. You know what? That could be postponed tomorrow. We won't go there. You know what? I know I had a vision to really evangelize the whole community, but you know what? It's just really not working. And in this vision, he had these hooks. And I remember this morning when I was thinking about the story. I said, God, this is a powerful prayer to pray. I commend you to pray this. God, remove the hooks from my back. I don't want to be held back because of this. Now, I want to share something with you really powerfully. It is impossible to fully execute the will of God without dealing with our idols. I'm going to say this again. It is impossible to fully execute the will of God, and I'll even go further, the voice of God. Watch this. Don't raise your hand, but has there been times where you heard the voice of God and you said, that's right, I heard the voice of God, I'm going to do it. And when it came down to executing the voice of God, you just couldn't do it. No matter how hard you tried, you would get a couple of victories, but then a lot of times you would just fail. Why is it that we can't, after we hear the voice of God, can't execute? I want you to see this. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Look at this. 1 Samuel chapter 15 says something powerful. Amen. Got a little quiet in here. You still love me? Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Look at this. This is a famous story, but I want to highlight some things, give you a little background here. We all know the story about Saul. All right, I have read this probably 100 times, but just recently I got an incredible revelation. I couldn't believe what God calls pride. He calls pride something. And it is impossible to execute the voice of God. Now, that's what I want to harp on right now. The voice of God will come to us in many ways. It'll come to us, hey, you need to go on a consecration, or hey, you need to do this, or hey, you need to give that person whatever. And when it comes down to actually executing it, many times the reason we don't is because we don't realize there's idols in our hearts. Now, I'm going to show you what the Bible says, that Saul could not be fully obedient to the voice of God because he didn't know that he had the idol of the fear of man inside of him. He could not. The Lord actually told him to do something. He said, yes, sir. And when it came down to the pressure, see, here's how you measure your obedience. It's one thing to hear the voice of God and say, I'll do it. But when pressure hits that command, when you get in, you're faced with intimidation to execute the voice of the Lord, then what truly is in you will come out. If you execute it, it will show you that there's things that are good. But if you continually to fail, there's things that have in your heart that we have no clue. Now look what it says. I'm gonna read a couple of verses here, verse 2 and 3, just so you know the story. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go. This is instruction of the Lord to Saul. Many of you know this. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them. Now look at this. Kill both men and women, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey, everything. In other words, I want you to execute everything. The problem that we have a lot in Christianity is that we're okay with 99% obedience. Because we really think, hey, we're doing real good, you know. Doesn't God see the sacrifices? Yes, he does. But my question to you this morning is, are we satisfied with 99% obedience because we don't want to let go of that one? Are we satisfied with that? Now look, so he said, I want you to kill everything. Babies of the Amalekites, donkeys, kill King Agag, utterly destroy every part, leave no trace of the Amalekites behind. If God were to tell you, I know this sounds radical, but if God were to tell you, hey, I want you to kill, I want you to slaughter every demonic spirit, the devil himself, and leave no demonic, are you going to leave one demon behind? No, the principle he was talking about is, I want no remnants of this evil seed no longer, because they're causing my people to backslide. And they're causing my people to err. Now look at verse 9, all right? Now I want you to hear, here's a little clue, you're going to start seeing it. Look at verse 9. But Saul and the people, highlight the word people in your Bible, and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fat. Remember what the Lord just said, kill everything, right? The fat, the lambs, and that, all that was good, that, and were unwilling to destroy them, but watch this, watch. Everything that was despised and worthless, they utterly destroyed. That's easy to do. Are you? Oh, no, see, you're not getting this. You're not getting this. Many of us are willing to destroy pornography and lust and cigarette smoking and cursing, but we're not willing to destroy laziness and ease and comfort. We're not willing to destroy those things because those are not despised in us. Oh. All the things that were utterly despised. Yeah, you know what? Oh, definitely pornography. That's out. All the drinking, out. How about worry and anxiety? How about a haughty look? How about a lying tongue? Six things the Lord hates, seven is abomination. Proverbs 6. How about destroying these little things? How about gossip and talking behind people's back because you don't like them? All the things that are utterly, that are good, he kept for himself. But all the things that were despised, he destroyed. Now watch. Now look. And then in verse 13 through 24, let's follow. We're going to go through a Bible story here. Verse 13, put it up there. Then I love this because it's amazing how idolatry in our hearts actually blind us from thinking they're actually doing the will of God. So here's Saul. He comes back. He's like, woohoo, boy, I did it. This is awesome. People are just going to be excited about what I just did. This is going to be awesome. Oh, Samuel's going to be so proud of me. God's going to be so proud of me. Woohoo! Watch this, guys. This is going to be great. Look at verse 13. Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you, the Lord. I mean, that's, blessed are you, brother. God bless you, Samuel. You're just an awesome prophet. Look at verse 14. Samuel said, verse 13. Blessed are you, the Lord. I have performed all the commandment of the Lord. Look at me for a second. Look at me for a second. Deception is when you have idols in your heart, you're deceived to thinking that you don't need to change. All of us need to change. And that's why we don't see an awakening, is because it starts with us. Right? So I'm not beating you over the head. I'm just saying this is what we need to get to, a place where we need to start realizing that our actions are a result of such a far deeper root than just a tendency. There's some idols in our heart that we have to deal with. Can I hear an amen? So look at verse 14. Samuel said, what then is this? This is funny. What then is the bleating of the sheep? Like, so Samuel's going, I've executed everything. Bah. Bah. I killed everything. I did what the Lord taught me. Moo. And Samuel's like, why do I hear the bleeding of sheep? I told you to slaughter everything. Now watch. Now here's the root. I read this for years. I never saw this until just recently. Why is there bleeding in my ears of the sheep? Look at verse 15. Verse 15. And Saul said, they have brought them out from the Amalekites. Underline this word again. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice the Lord, your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Keep going. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet. I will tell you what the Lord spoke to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. So Samuel said, the prophet, when you were little in your own eyes, woo, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? See, it doesn't matter if everybody else sees you small. Do you see yourself small? When you were little in your own eyes. Hey, look, what stops pride is don't let people blow you up. Other people could blow you up as long as you're still humble in your own eyes. So the prophet said, hey, remember when you were humble in your own eyes? Were you not the king of all Israel? Now look what it says. Were you not king of all Israel? Verse 18. Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, and the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are totally consumed. Why then did you, see this? I'm getting somewhere. Did you not obey what? The voice of the Lord. Do you hear that? The voice of the Lord came. He could not execute it. Why? So Samuel's saying, why couldn't you obey the voice of the Lord? Now here's where the rubber meets the road. Verse 20, and Saul said to him, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone on the mission on which the Lord has sent me. I brought back Agag, king of Amalek. Clearly not the voice of the Lord. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, underline that again. You see that? You see a pattern? What was in his heart? People pleasing. He didn't even know it. The idol, what we call idol, of the pleasing of man kept popping up in his heart. The issue that he had never dealt with kept popping up, and because he didn't want to say no to the people, oh Jesus, he could not obey the voice of the Lord. When you're more concerned about people's opinions than God's opinion, you will never obey the voice of the Lord. As a matter of fact, I call it a gangster scripture. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 10 in the NLT, Paul says, obviously, I'm not trying to please people. Then he says this, if pleasing people were my goal, I would no longer be a bondservant of Christ. He actually says that word for word in Galatians chapter 1. He goes, if pleasing people were my goal, I would no longer, in 2013 version, I will be disqualified from even being called a servant of God. That's some deep stuff. So three times, because the people. And he still hadn't got it yet. He's just like, I did it, but the people wanted it. I did it, but the people wanted me. But the people told me this. Now watch this. Look at verse 15. But the people took the plunder, the sheep of oxen, and the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Now watch this. We always remember Joanne this year. She used to tell me all the time when we were in the youth ministry. PG says, everything is rebellion. I just say, you're just rebellious. Everything's rebellious. And we always used to quote this scripture. Watch me. That witchcraft is a sin of rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, right? But we don't. I used to stop there and not see the rest. So Samuel looked at Saul and he said, "Has the Lord, verse 22, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" Now watch. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. I used to stop right there. But look what it says. And stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Stubbornness and pride, God calls it idolatry. We always stop at rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, but saying, I don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it, I don't want to submit to authority, is pride. Oh, it's pride. And it's idolatry. Look what he says. He goes, rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. What did he say in Ezekiel 14? Ezekiel 14 says, hey, Ezekiel, remember, while they're talking to you, I want to highlight they have idols in their heart. I'm going to answer them according to their idols. What a scary thing. That God, if God were to show us the idols in our hearts, and he would come to us and say, the next time you pray, I'm going to answer you according to how much is in there. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Now look at this. You think, now watch this, guys. Just give me 10 more minutes here. You would think after God pronounced judgment through a prophet, and he says this, he says, then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I had feared. What does it say? Verse 24, because I have feared the who? The people. Now the fourth time that you see a pattern of the people. Now he actually admits it. Before he didn't even admit it. Do you know that you don't have to admit something to know that's in there? It's still in there just because you don't admit it. And then, so he said this. He goes, I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now look at me for a second. You would think after you just got your mail read by a prophet, you would say, okay, I'm going to fix this thing. No more. I promise. It was a mistake. It's something I didn't even know was in my heart. I repent for the Lord. So he's going in this area, and he's, and the Lord says, okay, you're going to be stripped from the people. The Samuel says, because you have rejected the Lord, he's stripping the kingdom. Now you would think that he would fall and repent and say, no more. Look at verse 30. This is after the judgment was pronounced on him. Not before. After the judgment was pronounced, look at what Saul says in verse 30. Saul said to him, I have sinned. No, sorry, verse 30. Yeah, there he goes. Then he said, I have sinned. Yet, honor me now, please, before the elders of my people. Look at this. Look how deep his idolatry was. That after the judgment was pronounced on him, he goes, okay, God, Samuel, I'm sorry. But please make me look good in front of the elders. Just one last time. One last time, please. Look at it. Look what he says. Please, before the elders of my people and of Israel, and return with me that I may worship the Lord God with you. Saul had a huge idol in his heart that he didn't even know existed in him. But when it came time to obey the voice of the Lord, he couldn't. You know why? Because the giant of the fear of man was inside of him. You know how this is going to get to a place of total surrender? Is that when we identify this, one of the things that's going to help us drive out idolatry in our hearts is a movement of consecration in our hearts and in our life. Come on, say amen. Consecration is more than going on a fast. We've limited consecration to abstaining from relationships for a year. That's great. That's good. But consecration is more than just not dating for a year. Consecration, actually, I looked it up. You know what consecration is? Is to be set apart, word for word. This is what it means. Set apart for a specific cause and a purpose. So when we consecrate ourselves, what we're doing is we're setting ourselves apart for the purposes of holiness and the Spirit of God to work deep in our hearts. When we and by the way, consecration is a principle that could be applied by the enemy and by us. Listen, you know who knew the principle of consecration better than us Christians? 19 terrorists in 2001. Were consecrated for years. Yes, all right. I said the word consecrated. They were set aside for a cause. And that cause was to do the bidding of Satan at all costs, even if they knew that when they drove that plane, they were going to die. 19 men consecrated themselves entirely, fasted, even for the sake of destruction, and gave themselves entirely for one cause and one mission, to destroy the Twin Towers. And so I used to preach on David a lot, and when I found out the definition of consecration about being set aside for a cause or to break a pattern or a habit, I realized that when David came up to Goliath and he said, "Is there not a cause?" I used to say that in youth ministry a lot. Just, it was a real cool thing to say. Is there not a cause? What he was really saying was, is there not enough people in this land who are willing to consecrate themselves to see that giant and the idols of our land be toppled and pushed out of our land? And in 2013, what is he saying? He goes, is there people that are consecrating themselves to see idolatry driven out of their hearts? David said, is there not a cause? God is saying the same thing. I want the worship team to get up here. I want the worship team to get up here. I have one more scripture. What is the idols of our heart? What is it? Is it some of it? Maybe it's not the big ones. Maybe it's our pride. Maybe some of us are like, listen, maybe some of us are like Saul, but we don't even know it. Saul did not know that he had the idol of pleasing of man, listen to me, until he was asked to do something and then couldn't do it. And then Samuel the prophet said, why didn't you do it? I fear the people. I fear the people. I fear the people. And finally, when judgment came, you heard, he says, please, one last time, just make me look good. Help us, Jesus. Now look at this. The number one reason, though, I'm going to close with this. The number one reason, how does idolatry get in there? I've talked a lot about it today, but I didn't talk about why it's there. What is the number one reason that these little idols start creeping up on our heart? Look at me. Look at me. It's because of the lack of the Word of God in our hearts. The Bible says, my Word is like a fire and like a hammer. Now listen to me. Now listen to me. That means that the reason why we keep idols, even as Christians, is because there's little Word in our hearts. I know that you don't like that. I know. But where there's little Word, there's much idols. Where there's a lot of Word, there's little idols. And I'm going to share a story with you in Josiah that proves that even in Josiah's time, there was idols in the temple of God because he still had not revealed the Word of God to him. Do you know that you can love God and love him and worship him, and if the Word is not in you, it will not deal with these things in your heart? You guys could place something in there. Do you know that in Josiah's time, there was actual statues in the temple? No. Listen to me. Look at me, guys. Look at me. That would be an equivalent of coming to OHOP one day in the morning, and in one corner you saw the statue of Buddha over there in the temple of the Lord. And then you would sit down, and then you would see the articles of Allah. And then you would see another idol for this other god. And this other god. And then you would see a cross, all coexisting. Just have a little bit of everything, a little Buddha, a little bit. And I want to highlight that this was in the temple of the Lord in Josiah's time. I'm going to read it to you. In 2 Kings, this is my last scripture, 2 Kings chapter 22. You guys are a little bit too quiet, but that's okay. 2 Kings chapter 22. Now watch. So, but here's the thing. Here's the tricky part. For many days, people would come into the temple. And they would see these. It was broken down at that time. The temple was broken down and it needed repairs. But because there was no word of God being implanted in Josiah's heart, you know what happened? He said, hey, we're still doing good deeds for the Lord. We're still doing awesome things for God. And sometimes our good deeds mask what we really need to fix. Because we said to ourselves, you know what? I just saved 5 people last week, you know? God must be really happy with me. And He is. But that in itself doesn't make God happy. So could you imagine coming to church and seeing the cross, Buddha, Hare Krishna, and all these things, and it's just okay, and this, you're just loving, you're praising God, you're praising the Lord. There's just some idols, it's okay. Just idols in the temple. Let me tell you, you say, well, that's not with us. Oh yeah, because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple now is us. Now watch, now look at this. Josiah was 8 years old. Actually, no, chapter 22, 2 Kings, verse 22, verse 8. Now look at what it says this, guys. Watch this. I'm going to close with this, and then I'll show you that if we need to, how we need to clean house and topple idolatry. Not just by rebuking it, there has to be the word of God. Now look, and Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law, watch this, in the house of the Lord. The Bible, so to speak. The law was in rubble. Nobody knew. Could you imagine coming to church and not preaching the word? Coming to church and not knowing, hey, we're just worshiping God. But you know what? The word could be in rubble. The word could be just 5 minutes. Don't worry about that. Give us some real good motivational speaks. A lot of churches now are more motivational speakers than preaching the word of God. And so, they came, and they found the book of the law, which is symbolic of the word, in the temple of the Lord, when there was rubble. Now watch, and Shaphan read it to Josiah. Are you ready? Now watch this. So Shaphan the scribe went to the king, bringing King Josiah word, saying, your servant has gathered the money that was found in the house, and have delivered it into the hands of those to do the work who oversees the house. Now look what it says. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read the book of the law to Josiah. Now watch what happened when the word was revealed to Josiah. He said, when he heard the words of the book, or the word, he tore his clothes and he was mourning. Keep going to verse 13. And the king commanded, verse 12, Hilkiah the high priest, the son of Shaphan, Achbor the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and the servant of the king, saying, look at verse 13, go inquire of the Lord for me, for there are people all over Judah concerning the words of this book. In other words, guys, we have been operating in ministry all these years without the word. And we have idols in our temple. Is that right or is that wrong? We have all these idols. Go inquire what this book meant. In other words, he's saying, we're not doing this. He tore his clothes. He concerned the words of this book has been found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book according to his written. Look at me for a second before we jump into the last verse. Here's Josiah. He's allowing things in the temple, idols in the temple. Doesn't even know it's wrong. You know why? Are you ready for the kicker? There was no word. When the word was revealed to Josiah, he honestly said, oh my goodness, these are idols that we're keeping. He tore his clothes. He began to mourn. He said, we must do the things of the word. Now, you want to know how to clean house? How many want a clean house? You want to know how to clean house? When you get a revelation of the word, when there's much word inside of you, it will drive out the idols of your heart like a fire and like a hammer. You know why? Look at what it says just a couple of verses down in chapter 23. Look at, this is the last scripture in chapter 23, verse 1 through 4. I'm done.
Now, when he heard the word, he said this. Then the king sent to gather the elders of Judah and Jerusalem to him. Now watch, here it is. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah, of the whole nation. Once the word was revealed to him, say the word. And with him, all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets and the people, both small and great, he read in the hearing the words of the book of the covenant which had been found at the house of the Lord. Many believe that that was the book of Deuteronomy that they were reading. So he read this book. So the king stood by a pillar. Are you ready for this? And before the Lord, to follow the Lord and to commit to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in the book. And the people took a stand for the covenant. Are you ready for this? Look at verse 4. Here's where it comes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, the priests of the second order, and the doorkeepers to bring out the, listen, from the temple of the Lord. What were they bringing out? The idols. You're not getting this. So he commanded, now that the word of God is in me, I realize that there have been idols in the temple. He commanded to bring out of the temple all the articles that were made for Baal, all the articles for Asherah, and all the hosts of heaven. And he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of Kedron, and he carried their ashes to Bethlehem. You know what that means? It's once the Spirit of God starts giving you the hunger for the Word of God, all of a sudden you start looking inside instead of other people, and you start realizing there are some idols that the Word of God has to push out, because if it doesn't push out, I will not get the complete satisfaction and vibrancy of heart that I've been after. So now that the word of God is in me, I identify the God of video game, the idols of TV, the idol of ease, the idol of the fear of man, and the word of God will demand it to come out. It's time to clean house. It's not just physically. It's time to clean house for the idols that we have allowed. And the Word of God is going to be the sweeper. The Word of God is going to be the vacuum cleaner. The Word of God is going to be the maid to drive out every idol. How many believe that? Come on, stand up to your feet right now. Stand up to your feet all over this place. Come on. Come on, lift up your hands right now. We release, Lord God. We look into our hearts right now. We release the Word of God to come in our hearts, oh God, so we can have an awakened heart. So we can have an